Well, I think it's important to explain to the audience and to the persons that might be interested by this subject that the ICC respects fully the presumption of innocence and the highest standards of the rights of the defense. We are very respectful of every and each suspect or accused that is present before the ICC. There is no humiliation measures whatsoever at the ICC. As I said, we are very respectful and we take all the appropriate measure to ensure the dignity and the well-being of the suspects and accused during their stay before the court. What is important also to highlight is that Mr. Ruto and Mr. Kenyatta and Mr. Song are free persons. There are no arrest warrants against them. They will not be detained. They will not be arrested. They are appearing on a voluntary basis before the ICC judges. The other point that is important also to highlight is that the ICC authority in the Netherlands is exercised inside its own premises. But outside of the ICC premises, it is a matter that is under the authority of the Dutch state. So any kind of practical arrangements that will be necessary, it is discussed directly between the Kenyan authorities and the Dutch authorities and not with the ICC.
Members of parliament who support the two leaders have Kenya officially withdraw as a state party to the Rome Statute, thereby pulling out as a member state of the ICC. How will this possibly impact the case?
As you perfectly know, Kenya in 2003 decided sovereignly to join the Rome Statute, the international treaty that we call the Rome Statute. It is a sovereign decision of Kenya. And the Rome Statute also give the exact legal framework in case a state wants to withdraw from this international treaty. So it is possible, it is also a sovereign decision for a state to withdraw, but there are specific legal conditions in this case. First is that the withdrawal cannot become effective before 1 year of the notification of withdrawal to the United Nations Security, to the United Nations Secretary General. So that's the first thing. It cannot be effective immediately. It's only 1 year after. And even after this 1 year, the obligations that are on the Kenyan state or on the state parties in general that are a result of ongoing investigations or proceedings that have started before the date when the withdrawal become effective, these obligations remain, meaning that any investigation or proceedings or case that has started before 1 year after the notification of the withdrawal has to continue. It's not stopped by the fact of a withdrawal. This is an obligation that started and it continues. So even if a state party decide to withdraw from the Rome Statute because there are cases against citizens from this state, this would not affect the cases. The cases will go ahead. What happened is that the withdrawal will be effective only for the future, so preventing the ICC from offering legal protection to potential victims of crimes that might happen after this withdrawal.
There have been two witnesses that have withdrawn, they have announced their decision to withdraw. What does this mean? Some people are saying this weakens the case against Vice President Ruto.
Well, let's first start by highlighting something that I think it is very important, which is that the ICC offers very solid protective measures to our witnesses. And one of the key elements of any protective measure is discretion, is keeping the identity of the witnesses hidden, confidential, in order to protect them. So what is clear is that we cannot at any moment say if indeed what is reported, what is the speculation in the media about this identity or this person, we cannot confirm that or not confirm that because, as I said, the identity of our witnesses have to be and to remain confidential. But on a more general note, I think that it's important to say and to highlight that the cases are proceeding. The ICC prosecutor has consistently indicated that she is ready to proceed with both Kenyan cases. And in the case of Ruto and Sang, beside 40 witnesses, the prosecutor will also call expert witnesses and present and ask them to be present before the judges, and has already submitted a large number of documents and audiovisual material as evidence. So in case a witness decides to withdraw, it is possible for the prosecutor to apply to the chamber to add other witnesses. For example, on the 3rd of June 2013, the judges authorized the prosecutor to add two new witnesses to the Ruto and Sang case. So we cannot speculate. We should not speculate. The speculation in the media concerning the supposed identity or movements or status of witnesses is something to be deplored and not to be welcomed, because in most of the cases, this includes false information and puts innocent people in danger, whether it was related to the Kenyan cases or to cases in other countries, as you know. As for the security of the witnesses, you know that this is a very important matter for the court, and because the ability of all witnesses to appear and to tell the truth is essential for fair trials. It is in the interest of the defense, as well as it is in the interest of the victims or of the prosecution, because the defense witnesses are also given protective measures, not only the prosecution witnesses. So it's important to respect this for all the witnesses, and these protective measures include a wide range of measures, from closed sessions to keeping confidential the identity of the persons, to even to relocation to another country of the witness, if that's the only way to avoid the danger for this person. And what I would like to close with about this issue is that interfering with a witness is a crime, and this can be prosecuted both under the ICC statute and under the national laws. So it's something that is also to be taken in a very serious way.